Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very late episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. I'm recording this on Mother's Day, but it's pretty late. It's like almost 10 o'clock, but I'm going to release it tomorrow morning. You know, it just makes sense to just have a Monday morning episode. Thank you for all for your patience. I have been so sick this week. I recorded that Vanderpump Rules after show recap. It was like 2 hours. And then the next day, I just took a turn for the worst. And this Mother's Day weekend has not been everything I imagined it would be. I was sick. And then my daughter had an ear infection, of course, is what she woke up with on Saturday morning. So I barely got any sleep on Friday night. And when you're sick, you need your damn sleep. But she was in pain and she kept waking up, and it was rough. And today's Mother's Day, and my husband works in hospitality, so he has to work. So that's why I'm not recording this until 9:40 on a Sunday, because I'm alone with my kid today. He was here in the morning, so I did get like some breakfast and, you know, the traditional mom stuff, I guess. You know, they wanted to do breakfast in bed and all that. And my husband's a really good cook, so I was lucky. I got like homemade, he made homemade everything bagels, and they're really good. And then he also made these like whole wheat pancakes with chocolate chips, which I love. And you know, that was so, now I'm not complaining. I'm very grateful, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms listening. I hope you were spoiled, and that you, I hope you just got to relax. And, you know, all moms want for Mother's Day is to be left alone. That's real. Like, that's all we want. Just leave me alone. Just let me watch Housewives and lie in bed and do whatever I want to do. That's what I want to do. Like, everyone's like, what do you want? Do you want a gift? No, I want the gift of isolation. That's what I want. I want me and my phone, you know, reading tweets about Vanderpump Rules and other gossip while I'm watching like a rerun of Real Housewives of Potomac in the background. Not that that's exactly what I did, but it is for a lot of this morning. I also want to thank everyone for the feedback on the Vanderpump Rules episode. Everyone seemed to love it. I got a lot of good feedback. I was so worried because I was so congested and it was so long, and I felt like I went on so many tangents, but you were all here for it. And that just tells me that like you're my people, because I never get tired of overanalyzing these shows. I really don't. So the fact that you are all down with overanalyzing it with me, that is really what this podcast is all about. I'm also like, there's never enough content. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'll turn on a podcast that's about Bravo or something I like, and I'll see that it's like, I'll be like, yes, 1 hour and 45 minutes. Like, I'm never, the only time I get upset is when it's too short. I'm like, I just give me more. Like, I want to drown in the content of Bravo, you know? And you are my people because you're like that too, you know? Like, we just love it. Like, sometimes I hear podcasters apologizing for length, and I guess I do that too sometimes. And I'm like, do not apologize for length. Like, we love that. We love the length. It's just, give me more. I love it. I'm into it. The fact that I'm listening to a podcast about it should show that, right? All right, so on that note, let's start. We are going to start with Jax and Tom Sandoval on Watch What Happens Live. I hope you didn't watch it. If you did, no judgment, because I watched it. So obviously I'm not judging, but I mean, the ratings were like meh for it. I think they were pretty good. you know, because again, people want to hear what they have to say. They haven't been on the show in a long time. All right. So first they asked Tom Sandoval about his like hot mic moment from the finale. He says he meant it was good for him because he showed up and, you know, he has a tough job and he had to have a tough combo and he did his job. Yeah, bullshit. We're not stupid. We know exactly why you said that. You said that because Lala and others had a complete breakdown. They broke the fourth wall. You know, it showed them kind of taking your side. That looks good for you. She walked out. You didn't. Like, that's what you meant. Okay? We all know it. He said Lala's confessional at the end was spot on. Okay, so he agrees with everything Lala said. Listen, Lala co-signing you, Sandoval, it's not helpful because no one agrees with her and everyone really kind of hates Lala right now. And he says he was very moved by it. Okay. He says the biggest misconception about like Sandoval was that it was some big scheme or like an elaborate scheme, you know, when in reality he was getting lost in his emotions. I don't think anyone thinks him hooking up with Rachel was a big scheme. I think people do think they got just caught up in like infatuation slash horniness. I think the scheme is you trying to paint Ariana as the bad guy and blame her for it. That's what people think is a scheme. And it was. Sandoval also says that he did make attempts to talk to Ariana at home, despite what she says, and she was not receptive. I don't believe him, because why would I? This man is, again, I've said it a million times, he's a known liar. Everything he says always ends up being a altered version of the truth or just a flat out lie or some sort of under exaggeration, over exaggeration, or he leaves out key details. So, yeah, nothing he says is really that meaningful. He says he didn't feel that he weaponized Ariana's mental health, but he felt that it was being used as a threat against him, like if he doesn't comply, etc. Okay, if you felt that way, that's fine. But then you said it or used it as an excuse for why you didn't break it off and why you instead cheated with her friend for 7 months. So you did weaponize it. He says the house stuff is getting worked out, and that's all he can say because it's in like legal matters. So I'm glad it's getting worked out. Like he actually was like, you know, it's in the process. So I don't know. I hope that means that the ties between these two with this house can be cut forever. For Ariana's sake, I don't give a shit about him. He was most shocked by Lala being his friend again, although he was kind of like hesitant when asked the question by Andy. Like he was like, who are you most shocked by? And he couldn't really say, but then he was like, I guess Lala, which I mean, I think all of us kind of felt that way after how she acted last season and like forever before that. He said, you know, he's still growing and learning. It's not over and he's dealing with it as best he can. Okay. Again, means nothing. Let's move to Jax. I think I'm more interested. Like the reason I even wanted to watch this was because of Jax, because I'm like, he's on a show currently that is just starting and is ongoing. And listen, I don't have much hope in terms of like Sandoval being back on my TV, and I don't want him to be back. I'm not interested in him. Like, I don't really care what's going on in his life. I don't care who he's dating. I don't care. I don't care about anything going on with him. I don't want to see him in a new girlfriend. Like, I really, 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 really don't care. So at least with Jax, I have some interest in it. Like, is Jax going to be able to stay married? Like, is it like, what the hell's going to happen with these two? Like, I do have some interest in the drama, as like sad as it is, because their relationship is so toxic. But with Sandoval, it's like who he is clear. Everything he's going to give us for the rest of time is going to be just so fake and inauthentic and put on, and he's never going to give us who he really is because he wants us to have just this like, you know, the like the silly two Toms persona. And he doesn't want to give that up, and he's going to keep trying to do it just like he did this season. And I'm just like, I don't care for it. It's not fun or interesting. At least Jax is fun and interesting to watch, even though he's a toxic pig, because he's, like I've said before, he's dumber. So he's not as good at getting away with it. And he's such a like, he loves his gossip. He can't keep his mouth shut. And it's just the way it ricochets off everyone else. It just ends up being good TV. So again, that's why Jax was, you know, for a period of time, not forever, but he was kind of like the star of the guys, like around the time when Stassi was like the star of the girls, right? Because they both just have that like something, you know, in different ways. They're, you know, they're very different people, but you know what I mean. So Jack says currently he is still separated from Brittany. He says the bad sex life is his fault because he's dealing with, you know, his mental health, which... Jax, you've been using that excuse for, like, since you were on Vanderpump Rules, and you've since been fired, had a hiatus, and are on a new show. I'm not saying that Jax doesn't have mental health problems, because he does, or that he shouldn't be working on them. I'm just saying that you can't keep using that as an excuse to treat your wife like garbage. That's all I'm saying. Okay. You know, and then he says it was just like a bunch of other things. You know, he got fired, COVID, baby. I mean, I believe that's a lot of it, to be honest, because if you don't have a strong foundation and then you do get fired and COVID happens and you have a baby, yeah, that's not going to be good. And I don't think they ever had a strong foundation. So I also think that he's just the shallowest, most superficial person. And I think her gaining weight is part of it. I do not think it should be. I think he's a piece of garbage, but I do think that that's why, or it's at least part of it. He says he can't be good for Brittany until he fixes himself. Okay, so you're not going to be good for Brittany for like the next 100 years or whatever, because you're not ever going to fix yourself. I just don't think Jax can do it. I just don't. I'm sorry. He says that she lives down the street. They see each other every day. They bring their son to school. They do talk. So some people were like, why did she have to move out? And I guess Jax's answer was, I'm not going to pay two mortgages. I can't afford that. So I was like, so does that mean she's paying two mortgages, or is it that he already pays the house mortgage? I don't know. So why couldn't he move out and like Brittany pay his and he pay for the mortgage? I don't know. I feel like Brittany should have still be in the house. See, he's not that different from Sandoval. But whatever, I guess she lives down the street, so maybe it's like a comparable house. The biggest fight they have is that he has a big temper. He has very little patience. He needs help with this and he's working on it. Okay. He says he's gone through three therapists and it was hard for him because, again, here we get the sob story that back when he was on VPR, he had a therapist, and then they went to Australia and found out that the therapist was going around to bars and being like, I'm Jax Taylor's therapist. And so it's been hard for him to trust therapists. Oh, that must be so hard for you. But yet he wants women to forgive him when he cheats and trust him again. Just saying. He says maybe he was too hard on Brittany about the drinking. And then he says, yeah, but she probably drinks because she's married to me. So again, he once again confirms that he thinks she has a drinking problem. Okay. So he's not really, this is the thing. Jax is so transparent, even when he tries not to be. So listen, that was pretty much it. There were some other things. There was nothing that was like groundbreaking. So, you know, those were the key points. So if you don't want to watch it, now you got the key points. So let's talk about Sheena's podcast on Shenanigans. Sheena reveals that she doesn't speak to Tom or Ariana much these days. Oh, well, I'm so glad, Sheena, that you sacrificed your entire friendship to Ariana for Tom, who doesn't speak to you that much and you don't speak to him. Okay. Sounds like it was all worth it. She also says that production was clear about what Vanderpump Rules is about, saying, and I quote, This is an ensemble show about a group of friends. So if y'all aren't filming together, then there is no show. We'll wrap it up. The season will end early and move on with your lives. VPR is done. Okay, so is this true or is this just Sheena saving face? I'm going to say it's Sheena saving face. Because why was this pressure not on Katie and James and Allie? Right? Like, why is it just Sheena and Lala? I think the truth is that Sheena and Lala's opinions were legit opinions. Like, and I think production was trying to get them to film as a group? Absolutely, I do. But, and do I think that they were like somewhat maybe like, hey, maybe you can get them to have a conversation, like the two of them, you know, whatever. It'll be good drama for the finale or something like that. Yes, I do think that this is true, like to a point. But they were still filming as an ensemble cast for the majority of the season. So, and again, like production can pressure you or they can suggest things, but that doesn't mean that you have to do all of it, right? Look at them, how they were like trying to talk to Ariana on the last scene and she was like basically like, fuck you, right? Look at, again, look how Katie acted all season. James and Allie, like, did they film scenes with Sandoval and group scenes and all that? Yes. But did they also bitch and make snide comments about Ariana in their confessionals and express jealousy and all that kind of stuff? No. That's why I'm like, to me, this is mostly Sheena just trying to save face. On top of that, listen, as many people have pointed out, this is not the first time that people have refused to film with others on Vanderpump Rules. It's happened a million times. Sandoval himself refused to film with Kristen for a long time. So there's that. Sheena also says they were frustrated on the finale, but the producers gave them the go-ahead to break the fourth wall as they were very frustrated with Ariana. I can't even comment on that. I think everything I just said covers it. It's just, it's all stupid and it's all excuses. It's all excuses because you showed your cards, which is that you were jealous and that you maybe don't like Ariana as much as you say you do. And that's it. Sheena says, for the rest of us, it felt like, fuck all your jobs. Fuck making the end of the show. I'm going to do what I want to do because I set my boundary. Peace out. So that's a direct quote, by the way, from Sheena. Sorry. Okay, so I guess so Sheena is saying here, I don't respect Ariana's boundary. Her boundary is inconvenient for me, even though it's not really because she still filmed all the group scenes. I just don't get it. Like, I get why she didn't go to Lake Tahoe, or I get that Ariana didn't go, but she still showed up for stuff. This is what is blowing my mind. She was at everything else. And her blow-ups at the everything else events, like at the water tasting and all that other stuff, I mean, those made for good TV. Those were like the most like dramatic parts of the whole season. The rest was pretty boring. Like, what is Lala bringing? Water tasting? What was Sheena bringing? Yeah, she had a couple fights with Brock, but like they weren't exciting enough to carry the season. Okay, so get out of here. So yeah, I guess she's like, the fact that Sheena took it that way, it felt like, fuck all your jobs. Fuck making the end of the show. They did make the end of the show. I guess what Sheena and Lala are saying is that they wanted some sort of big blowout at the finale. Okay. Or some big ending, which would come at the expense of Ariana, because she would need to talk to Tom Sandoval and either have like an emotional ending or she would freak out again and lose her shit on him. Those are the, and that would be their like finale. But again, like, why is that on her? Maybe the rest of you should do some work. Like, maybe besides, like, yes, they've had their fights with Sandoval or whatever, like Sheena and Lala throughout the season, or they've had their moments, but maybe they need to have some group dynamics. Like, why aren't you guys getting into shit? It can't all just be about Sandoval and Ariana. Why don't you do something? Like, to me, the person who did the most work was actually Schwartz, because he brought Joe over to get slaughtered by Katie. Again, I'm not congratulating him because he's a loser, but what I'm saying is that he did something. He did. he got us at least some other storyline besides Sandoval and Ariana that we could go off of. He's the only one who was kind of successful. Let's be real. The rest of them just, it's like Sheena and Lala didn't want to give anything of their own storylines. And what they did have was kind of boring and not that interesting. So it's like they just like hitch their wagon onto Scandoval like they always do. And then when Scandoval wasn't cooperating with them the way that they wanted it, they had temper tantrums. That's what happened. I just worked it out. That's what happened. Okay. And again, I'm not here for like any of Sheena's excuses. Okay, let's go on to Schwartz. So Schwartz says that his biggest regret in all of his time on Vanderpump Rules is kissing Rachel. I mean, I'm glad that he's admitting that kissing Rachel and totally fucking with your ex-wife's head and throwing her under the bus in order to help Sandoval cover his affair was a terrible thing to do. I'm glad he's admitting that. You also cheated on your wife, treated her like garbage on camera, called her like disgusting, poured a drink on her. I don't know. I guess those are like just below this one. Okay, Schwartz. So the other big Vanderpump Rules this news is Ms. Joe doing an Instagram Live, which was recorded. And she gives us some information, including Schwartz blocked her, and then he sent her a message, basically, or maybe this was before he blocked her. Sorry, yes, it was before, saying that she needs to stop telling him that he owes her something. He's not gaslighting her. He's finally at peace in his feels, and it feels like forever. So please don't mention me or my girlfriend anymore. Because I guess, from what I had seen, Joe said made some comment about his girlfriend on social media in some way. I don't remember what it was. I'm sorry. And why would she waste 1 second of her life chasing someone who doesn't want to be with him? I mean, I have to kind of agree with him on that last one. Joe says that on the live that she's going to mention him because he was a massive part of her life and she was there for him during the hardest time in his life when his family was breaking apart and she feels he's gaslighting. Okay, Joe, you're really contradicting yourself. I'm not on Schwartz's side here. I just want to preface this by saying that, but I'm not on Joe's side either. Okay, they're both terrible for different reasons. Do I think Schwartz led her on? Yes. Do I think she's handling it with very little dignity at this point? Yes, he led you on, but the reunion's over, the season's over, he's got a new girlfriend. Like, girl, it's getting embarrassing here. You know, it's like, why are you still talking about him? If he's such a trash guy who gaslit you and all this stuff, don't give him the time of day. Or I guess if you want to out him for that, out him for it quickly and then don't mention it anymore. Like, you need to just, you know. She also says that Schwartz, in his text to her, said, no hard feelings, but I'm blocking you and whatever you say to me will fall on deaf ears. And then she admits that Katie was right about him. Oh, okay. 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 Katie tried to warn you. Okay. Katie tried to warn you and you didn't listen. You were like, no, Katie's the crazy bitch. And I believe everything Schwartz says about her. And I'm going to ignore it. And yeah, they always think he's going to be different for them, don't they? Like these pick me girls, they always think, oh, he's going to be, it's just because she was so crazy. But now that he's with me, you know, it'll be different. How'd that work out, Joe? She says, well, Katie was still mean to me, which that's true. But I mean, I kind of think you deserved it a little bit. But right about him. She says, you know, lesson learned. And this is the closure she wanted. She says she totally gets Katie's side and that Katie was right the whole time. Oh, God, that feels good. Okay. Joe says Katie can call her names. Katie has more of a right to call her names than Schwartz does, which I think is kind of funny. So that's it. I mean, hopefully Joe will just stop talking. I think she needs to. And I do think it's a little embarrassing because she was like in the season finale, she tells Katie to move on. And here we are, like it's months later and Schwartz has a whole new girlfriend and she's still talking about this. Like, it's not looking good, Joe. So apparently there is a Dumois blind about Vanderpump Rules being rebooted. Now, again, this is just a blind, so it doesn't mean that it's true, but like you all know, I share it all. Facts, gossip, rumors, blinds, news stories, whatever I find. Okay, so I'm going to read it. Subject, kind of the end of an era. I heard from a friend, and then it's like blanked out. Block that out if you use it. Okay. So I heard from a friend who heard from a producer friend on Vanderpump Rules that the show as we know it is ending. Bravo will be extending offers to much of the current cast to join the Valley, and the idea of a potential spinoff show following Ariana or Ariana and Katie is allegedly being tossed around. If that happens, Vanderpump Rules will follow a new group of people at one of LVP's restaurants. Listen, this has just as much chance of being true as it has of not being true. That's why I don't put a lot of stock in these. I cannot, in my mind, imagine any way that this show can move forward. Not because of Sandoval and Ariana, actually, but because of the rest of the cast. I don't see it. Like, do I think that they could, as a group, have kept filming together and moved things forward and this show could have survived? Yes, but it's not going to now. And the reason it didn't is because of Lala and Sheena. Lala and Sheena, they're the ones who made this show as we know it end. Because if they had stuck by Ariana and let things kind of unfold in a more organic way, I actually do think that maybe they could have gotten at least one or two more seasons out of this cast before having to redo it. Now I think there is actually no chance. I really do. I actually think that, ironically, Lala and Sheena have made Ariana even more popular and even more of a star. She's going to have even more opportunities. So I could see if this is true, it kind of makes sense. What I do not need is Lala and Sheena on the Valley. I just feel like the Valley is perfect as it is, perfect in its many, many, many toxic imperfections, and the cast works well together. I guess if Sheena goes on, I could deal with it, because at least it's like Sheena and Brock, and like I just don't think they're going to last, and I kind of want to see it, but I am also like would prefer them not on there at all. But Lala, I do not need on my screen. I'm so over watching her fake ass on television. And I don't mean that like physically. I mean her fake like persona. Okay, Chef Penny. Let's talk about that and something about her. So Chef Penny says Katie and Ariana were not going to trademark something about her because it was too expensive. So there was a text exchange between Chef Penny and an Instagram account, @Bravo_boo. And basically what Chef Penny says is, I don't need to explain, but since you're coming at me, so I guess Bravo Boo had messaged them about it. The three of us sat right here at my house with my husband, who's a lawyer, to discuss how best you can handle the city issues, the landlord and previous tenant the space was subleased from. One by one, we covered all the points that needed legal attention. I brought up the trademark. They said they weren't going to do it because it costs too much. I said, my husband will get it and it won't cost us a thing. I wonder why it wouldn't cost them a thing. I did all the work to get them open and they switched the deal terms on me. I have every documented and on email and text. I wanted nothing but good for them. I've been working with, not for, she has no punctuation, so it's hard to follow, with, not for, Lisa and the team for years. I would have had this open last year, but they were misguided by their lawyer, and now here we are. Business is business. Okay. So then Bravo Boo replies and says, why not give them the trademark of their own shop? From what they were saying, it sounds like you changed up your requirements of what you wanted from the shop. They were paying you and giving you 10%, and it sounds like you wanted more. Trademarking is not expensive, so I doubt they said that to you. I have a business I trademarked. And then Penny replies, sorry again, not here to explain it all to you, but it will all come out, including all they were supposed to give before I did all the work and they changed the terms. I mean, listen, there's two sides to every story. probably Katie and Ariana made some mistakes because they're first time business owners and doesn't seem like they really knew what they were doing in a lot of aspects. So yeah, they probably made some mistakes. Chef Penny obviously has more experience with this stuff, but maybe on the other side, Chef Penny was trying to leverage her, I have more experience, so that she could maybe get more, even though the whole place was going to make most of its money because of Katie and Ariana. And maybe Katie and Ariana just didn't want to give up as much ownership. Like, there's, again, I think there's really two sides to this. And I also just like don't really care that much. I think it's just like a business squabble. They literally happen all the time. I don't think it necessarily means anyone is a quote unquote villain. Okay. So on Give Them Lala, speaking of actual villains, Lala says she didn't watch the finale. But wait, wasn't she forced to watch it at the reunion? So doesn't that mean she watched it? Or maybe at the reunion, they just watched like the last 10 minutes or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, she said she's not addressing any Vanderpump Rules news until part 3 of the reunion, and then she'll address it very quickly, and then she never wants to hear about season 11 again. I mean, I get it, because she knows she messed up and she played it completely wrong, and I wouldn't want to hear about it either. It'd be like, it's like her most embarrassing kind of like loser moment on TV. I get it. She also says, I mean, she tries to blame the fans in the next breath by saying the fans have rabies and need to get their rabies shots. And her brother calls them rabies bitches. Okay. Sounds like, okay. Anyways, whatever. So Ariana is returning to Broadway this August in good news. And good for her. Is that why they're not filming Vanderpump Rules this summer? Maybe. And that could be why, if all the other blinds and stuff are not true. And I hope it is true, just because I hope it gets under Lala and Sheena's skin. Okay, there is something that I wanted to add to that I had talked about on the Vanderpump Rules finale after show recap. Sorry, that's a long sentence. But I wanted to talk about how, about the CC Loves You account and how they had spoken to Kyle Chan. So I already discussed this about like Kyle Chan telling CC about like Tom. By the way, trigger warnings, there's going to be mention, like discussion of suicide here. Okay. So if that is not good, I would like fast forward, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. So basically that Tom had told Kyle that he bought a gun or something like that. And that Kyle, you know, like, I guess, intervened or whatever the case is, right? So that was kind of like the spoiler. Now, when I watched that video from CC, it kind of seemed to me like that was like a spoiler in terms of the reunion. But then I was doing some reading on Reddit. Shout out Reddit. Love you. But I was just doing some reading on like the Bravo Reddit and the Real Housewives Reddit. And some people were mentioning, and I thought this was an interesting point, that This was already kind of discussed. Like, I guess Tom Sandoval had already discussed this on his podcast, and it was already discussed somewhere else too. I can't remember where the other place was, but it was like a public thing. So yeah. So I'm wondering if, so that kind of makes more sense to me, because I was wondering like why Kyle would give all this information up if it's supposed to be like this like dramatic part of the reunion. But maybe it's since it was already out there, like on Tom's podcast, and he talked about it enough. And maybe what Kyle was saying to Cece was just that they openly talk about this at the reunion, and it's something that maybe they hadn't talked about yet. That's the only thing I can think of. So we shall see. Anyways, I just wanted to give that update. So also in the preview for the finale, you know, LVP says she hasn't seen the final piece of the final episode, and Andy says that they're all going to watch it together. So that's like, that's what I thought was new. I thought like what they're all going to watch together is, you know, Lala breaking the fourth wall, etc. But I think maybe I just misunderstood when I watched Cece's video, because I thought she was saying like what they all watch or see is a discussion of that other topic with the gun, etc. But I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it again, I think, because maybe I just misunderstood that part. Anyways, we will see, obviously, because, you know, it's Monday and the first part of the reunion, at least, is going to be coming. Jeremy Maddox also has a message for the Bravo audience that is extremely convoluted and I'm pretty sure written with AI. What I cannot fathom is the audacity of those who weave a web of falsehoods in defense of someone they claim to support. It's disheartening to witness individuals propagate baseless rumors and misinformation about me, all in a misguided attempt to champion my sister, whom they do not know nor truly understand. Let us not be swayed by the allure of sensationalism or the temptation to vilify others without cause. Instead, let us embrace empathy and rationality, recognizing that the truth is not a matter of convenience, but a pursuit worth striving for. What are you even saying now? Now you're just saying things that could be applied to like any situation. Why don't you be specific about the topic in which you're addressing, sir? Okay. So to those who seek to defend my sister at the expense of my reputation, I implore you to pause, reflect, and consider the consequences of your words. In the realm of social justice and progressive ideas, let us uphold the principles of integrity and accountability, lest we succumb to the very injustice we claim to abhor. Okay. Yes, headlines are not facts. Okay. I mean, you could have just said that. You could have just said the BS part. This is just Jeremy being butthurt because he has said a bunch of shit about his own sister and people have defended her. And he's like, oh, I look like a bad guy now. Yeah, because you talked when no one asked you to talk. Just shut up and stop talking. And then you tried to say your sister used microaggressions against your fiance, who's white. Just stop talking, okay? The AI is not helping. He looks like they have these things. It's like, I can't remember what it's called. There's a specific name for it. It's not even like necessarily AI, but it just like fluffs up your language. And it often just makes it sound, you know, like you're trying too hard, just like this. I bet you he used one of those. Okay. Let's talk about some Valley news. Lala is allegedly in early talks for the Valley. So I already kind of talked about this and why I don't want it. And I stand by that. On the Shenanigans podcast, Janet was on and she clarified that the reason she didn't invite Zach on the Big Bear trip is that it's been a big year for Big Bear. Between like, that was where like Sandoval and Schwartz brought their quote unquote secret girlfriends, you know, and now this. Anyways, Janet says before filming, she hadn't seen Zach in 2 years. So that's why she didn't invite him. And she says that she hadn't spoken to him for 2 years for a reason that she is not willing to say on the podcast. And then Sheena's like, oh, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I was like, okay, Sheena, I know you're trying to get on this show now. Like, I mean, I already knew that, but like Sheena's like, I know secrets about these people. And if you let me on the show, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Like 100%. That was what she was doing. Janet says basically she never had any intent of inviting him on the baby moon because they just weren't in a good place. And it had nothing to do with the stuff happening on the show. And she just wasn't comfortable with this. I mean, that's fine. But Janet, like, and maybe it's just because Janet's new and she doesn't know, but you're on a reality show. So if there is some other reason, you're going to need to tell us. Otherwise, you're going to need to just invite him and get over it. And then, or invite him and then we can fight with him about that, right? And yes, you might be like, well, that's hypocritical because you said Ariana doesn't have to da-da-da with Tom Sandoval. No, this is different. It just is. This is like two friends who had a squabble about something. Unless it's something like really serious, you know, that I don't know about and he did something like abusive, like, I don't know, did he cheat on her for 7 months? I don't know. But either way, it's like you've signed on to be on this show and you've already filmed group scenes with him multiple times. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I get what she's saying. It's her baby moon. But generally, people don't invite friends on baby moons anyways. So it's already like we're stretching reality here. By the way, the Valley is going to be back for season 2. It is official. They start filming this summer. Yay. But no reunion. So boo. I strongly boo you, Bravo, boo. All that being said, I kind of get it. I get it in the sense that, like, it seems like maybe they have storylines that are, like, ongoing and that need to, like, keep recording. And they don't usually do headlines, sorry. They don't usually do reunions for first seasons. They just don't. Even when they have, like, good ratings. Like, Summer House Martha's Vineyard's ratings were better last season, I think. And they were doing really well, and they didn't get a reunion either. Although they totally... But again, they need to change this stupid rule for the non-housewife shows. We always want a reunion, okay, Andy? And whoever else I need to put that message to. We have a little bit of Summer House news. Nothing too big, but just a little West news. So West was seen, according to Summer House Reddit, West was seen out in New York City with a new girl, and they were very close and cuddly. And this was the same girl that he was pictured with on Dumois. Okay. So he's been pictured with this girl before, and people think this is like a serious relationship. So, you know, spoiler alert, he's probably not with Ciara. We know that. Like, I just knew this relationship was not meant to be. Like, they're cute. You know, did a lot of people like stan them as a couple? Yes, but you know, I don't know. I just didn't see it. I didn't see like the like that like level of chemistry. And I don't mean from Wes. I actually don't see it from Ciara that much. I think she wasn't like, I think she liked him, but I don't think she was like into him enough, you know? Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. The premiere was on last week. I have not watched the second episode yet, but as there always is with New Jersey, so much crap online because these women just like don't sleep apparently. I just picked out like the bigger quote unquote things. I'm not getting into all this like conspiracy theories between like different bloggers and like who's doing this, who said. I'm not getting into that, okay? I can't do that right now, okay? My head might explode. I am going to get into like the actual interviews that actual cast members do with legitimate news media, you know, conglomerates or whatever, channels, stations. I don't even know what I'm talking about now. This is what New Jersey does to my brain. It scrambles it. So Teresa and her podcast co-host Melissa have parted ways. So Teresa did confirm this, which this is part of the whole blogger drama. But overall, basically, Teresa says she'll be starting a new podcast on her own. And she does have an announcement about this coming soon. I've heard there's going to be like she's going to have a new co-host. I don't know who, but she's going to be starting one. All I can tell you is from what I've heard, her and Melissa, the co-host, decided to part ways. Melissa said something about wanting to be a housewife, or something along those lines, I believe. And I guess other things happened online behind Teresa's back where she felt like Melissa was just using her to get on the Housewives and was never really her friend or something like that. Again, I may do some research into this and talk about it a bit on my Patreon next week. That was kind of what I was planning on because I have heard some things. So yeah, but I can't get into all of it now because there's too much other like mainstream New Jersey news right now. And I just don't have all of that organized yet. So if you want to join my Patreon, by the way, it's patreon.com/BravoAndBotox. It's been very Summer House heavy lately. So if you're into overanalyzing Carl and Lindsay for a long time, it's the place for you. I've been talking about Vanderpump Rules too, but now I'm going to be talking about New Jersey as well. So on Two Teas and a Pod, who was on it? Oh, Jackie. Jackie was on Two Teas and a Pod. And Teddy asks Jackie about Marge's premiere party. And she's like, oh, everybody was there. Were you invited? And Jackie says no. And Jackie says she's not friends with Marge anymore, which we knew. But Jackie says, and I thought this was pretty spot on. I don't always agree with everything Jackie says, but I thought this was a very keen observation. She says, the show has turned into the Hunger Games, and everyone is convinced that the person who gets the most people on their quote-unquote team will win, aka take a picture with the team, like all the people who are on your side, and Bravo will see that and be like, oh, they have more people, so let's just keep them. And Jackie says, that's not how it works, which she's absolutely right. Now, listen, it seems like Jackie is talking about a certain team. Just the way that she says it, it kind of seems like she's talking about maybe Melissa, because then Teddy's like, oh yeah, didn't Melissa write like Dream Team as a caption? And Jackie's like, yep, and it's very strategic. It reminds me of that episode a couple seasons ago when they were, I think it was like the first season Louis was on, and they were somewhere where it was like a, they decided to record, I think it was like a country song. And like Melissa's like singing and they were all like recording the song and Teresa wasn't there that day for whatever reason. And then Melissa made a post with like her and all the girls without Teresa and was like, wasn't it fun? Like seeing us all have a good time and getting along without like the toxicity. And like some people kind of made fun of her because they were like, I watched this show for like drama, not to see like you guys recording a country song or something. But then other people were like, oh, this is like her trying to, you know, like sell this to Bravo, right? So, and again, I'm not saying like Teresa's side isn't maybe also trying to do that too. But I think Teresa, I think the difference is I think Teresa just wants Melissa off. I mean, I think Teresa's like, okay, if we can get Marge off, you know, that would be like icing on the cake because I don't think, because obviously she doesn't like Marge or whatever. But I think Teresa's also like feels like, I think she sees herself as so powerful in the context of the show because she sees herself as the star. So I think she thinks like, I can kind of make up with anybody and get them back in a way or deal with them if I have to. But what I really want is Melissa off because I don't want to deal with my brother. And Teresa's never wanted the show to be about her family drama, right? Which is why she didn't want them on in the first place. So I think Melissa, though, on the other hand, is, you know, she wants Teresa off the show, but I think she knows she can't like carry it alone, even though she'd like to think she does. So I think Melissa's kind of like, I need like a good, strong team, which I mean, she's right. She does need a strong team because she can't do it on her own. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're ever going to just be like, let's just keep this team. I completely agree with Jackie, whether it's Teresa's team or Melissa's team or whoever's team. And I actually, I don't really see Melissa as like the leader of the other team. I see Marge as the leader of the other team. And I just don't think, I think the problem is Marge is not, she, especially the last couple seasons, she used to be so like light and fun and like, brought like humor to the show, and she's become so like dark and like strategic and like, you know, like giving gifts to bloggers and like doing weird shit like that. And I think that, and I'm not saying like Jen, it seems like maybe Jen Aiden has done that too, but Jen Aiden has a really funny family, like her kids are really dynamic and entertaining, and even her husband, even though he can be not the best, he still like, he kind of like gets drunk and brings like some funniness, and like she's kind of funny, you know what I mean, like, and she's pretty transparent about her family stuff. So, you know, I can understand them leaning more towards her. I don't know, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but my point is that I don't think that Marge has as much like staying power as she used to. I mean, she's lasted longer than I thought she would. I'll give her that. But I just don't know, like going forward, she just seems, she's such a downer on the show lately. Like it just feels like she can't have fun anymore, ever. And a lot of people would say that about Teresa too. But when Teresa's with the people that she likes being with, she does have fun. And, you know, she still says her like, she still says her like dumb sayings when she's not meaning to, like, I'm a cucumber or whatever. You know what I mean? So I don't know. And I also think we kind of want to see what's going to happen with Louis, don't we? I do. Like, I don't think it's going to end well, and I kind of want to see it. Just being honest, guys, I'm a mess. However, I am interested in Marge now because it seems like she's having some issues with her guy, and I'm down to see that too. So, oh God, it's all just a gong show, isn't it? Okay, so let's get back on track. Marge was on Access Hollywood, and on Marge's side of things, she says that basically when Jan died, everyone reached out to her, including Teresa, and she says everyone was there for her. But she said, you know, the following year after someone passes can almost be harder, which that is true. And she said, you know, the person that really disappointed her was Jackie. She said, if it's not on Instagram, it's not real life for Jackie. Okay. Marge says maybe we just need like Jackie full time back on the show. I was down with Jackie being demoted because she was getting annoying. But if she's going to be having these kind of beefs, like this is the beef I am the most interested in this season is Jackie and Marge. Like, I don't care. Like, even all the stuff with like Teresa and what's her name, Fuda, it's fine. Whatever. I'm just happy it's not Teresa and Melissa. Like, I'm happy for anything that's not Teresa and Melissa. But I think the reason I'm not enjoying it is because it is Teresa and Melissa. It's just Rachel is like the representative of Melissa now. You know what I mean? And then Teresa's still just whatever, Teresa, right? So the two of them are, it still feels the same. The reason I like the Jackie and Marge and all that, like that's interesting. You know what I mean? That's new. That's what we need. We need people in the group to have those other dynamics besides just relying on the fallback that they have been kind of relying on for years. And it's been annoying, which has been Teresa and Melissa, right? So she says she was really disappointed in Jackie because, you know, Jackie wasn't like there for her. Marge says she was salty because Jackie sent the book, her book about her anorexia and her memoir, whatever it was, to everyone and not her, right? She also says she did not receive the advance copy and at the point when they recorded the season premiere, and she thought it was weird. Marge says, you know, she helped Jackie because she introduced her to the publishing person who ended up publishing the book and gave her a press list of all the people that she should, you know, send the advanced copy to. And then she says Marge says Jackie was very defensive and saying that Marge is acting like they were closer at that time than they were. And like, you know, Marge was taking credit for Jackie's hard work on this book and getting it published, which if I'm going to be honest, it does kind of sound like that. Because literally right before she says this, she was saying that this is exactly what Marge says. She says, Jackie gave Anthony an advance copy, who was the person who helped her get the book deal, who Marge introduced Jackie to, or she wouldn't have been able to get it pretty much. Like that's what she implies. She doesn't say she wouldn't have gotten it, but she says, I introduced her to Anthony and he's the reason she got the deal and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, okay, maybe Jackie has a point. Like, I understand why you were upset that you didn't get an advance copy. I do think that is a little odd, but Jackie must have not given it to her for some reason. She must have found out something. In my opinion, she found out that Marge was the originator of the Evan rumor, which I've always thought that because it just makes sense. And Joe Bonino pretty much told us, and so did Frank Catania, but everyone just likes to ignore it. But basically, I think Jackie got some confirmation of that maybe, and she was annoyed, which, yeah, I'd be annoyed too. So anyways, Danielle C. Cabral says, or she has also been getting called out by Catherine Desimone, who is her like hair or was her hair makeup person. Okay. So basically she says, I'm going to read it. So she posted this on Instagram. She posted a picture of Danielle from the premiere with that like hideous yellow and black dress. I'm not a fan of that dress. I think Danielle is a beautiful woman. Very beautiful woman. She has a great figure. She's really good looking. But she can dress. She cannot dress for shit. Like, she gives me Giselle vibes. She's just so tacky. Like, ugh. She doesn't need a hair and makeup person. She needs a stylist. ASAP. Okay? So, anyways, Catherine says, stay tuned. I will be posting all hair looks from season 14. So I guess she's a hair, sorry, the hair, did the hair. Even though Danielle never paid for this look, she did promise to promote and circulate all my work. Instead, she took me for a spin and decided to block me. I still feel it's only fair all my hard work be promoted as promised. What do you guys think is fair? And then she like hashtags it Bravo and all that stuff. And then Danielle responded on her Instagram story and said, don't be the ones that talk shit about the ones who make it. It's not a good look. So I guess she's trying to say like, you're just jealous because I made it onto the show and you didn't or something, I guess. Didn't sound like that was the problem, Danielle. Put your energy into your personal growth and not into tearing down others. There's a lane for everyone. You're better than that. I mean, she doesn't deny it. I'm looking for the denial, Danielle. I'm looking for the, no, I did pay her, or I did do what I said I was going to do, or I've never used this woman's services. She's making things up. Like, there was none of that. So that's confirmation to me. Last we have in Jersey news, John Fuda's press release. I'm sure you all saw this because it's been floating around, but he actually did a press release and it is the funniest thing. It's not meant to be funny, but it's funny. So basically, John Fuda, esteemed entrepreneur and philanthropist, has issued a statement in response to recent attempts by his fellow castmates on The Real Housewives of New Jersey to bring up his past in an effort to cast him in a negative light. In recent episodes of RHONJ, certain cast members have resorted to dredging up Mr. Fuda's past in an apparent attempt to discredit him and undermine his reputation. Despite these efforts, Mr. Fuda remains steadfast in his commitment to integrity, honesty, and personal growth. While I am not proud of every aspect of my history, I have worked tirelessly to overcome challenges and strive for a better future. I refuse to be defined by my past mistakes. A respected figure in his community, John Fuda has dedicated himself to numerous charitable causes and business endeavors. His contributions to society far outweigh any missteps of his past, and he remains focused on making a positive impact on the world around him. I am grateful for the support of my friends, family, and fans who see me for who I am today. A person dedicated to growth, kindness, and authenticity, Mr. Fuda added. I will continue to rise above the negativity and remain true to myself. Mr. Fuda's response serves as a reminder that everyone deserves a second chance to evolve and move forward of their past free of judgment and condemnation. The fact that he thinks he needs this press release is just insane to me. The fact that he's delusional. I need Nene somewhere to be like, you need to stay out of women's business. Like, it's a little much. Like, I know, like, he feels Louis, like, did that investigation into him or whatever. Again, that could be true. You're allowed to be upset about that. But John Fuda, he's just a little too into the camera. Like, he's done, like, a full season 2 glow up, chin implants, lost all this weight. Seems like he's had some other plastic surgeries. Like, now he thinks he's important enough to put out a press release. Like, it's getting a little weird. And I just get a weird vibe from him. And then there's also, like, the idea that he's talking about how everyone in society deserves a second chance. So then why do you keep using convict as an insult to Teresa if you're also, like, he doesn't deny the drug dealing or the legal issues. So it's like, okay, I don't know, glass houses, stones, whatever. Anyways, okay. Let's go to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Season 14 has started filming. PK and Dorit are separating. This is big news. The fact that it's so far down on my sheet is weird. I think that's just because Jersey premiered and took over. Listen, it's all crazy because Dorit was like, we're better than ever when at the reunion, right? And now they're separating. I'm going to read the statement. And the statement is very Dorit. in that it's a long-winded word salad, you know, type of response or type of statement where she really could have said this in like one sentence. We as a couple have been subject to a lot of speculation about our marriage. We've had our struggles over the last few years and continue to work through them as two people who love each other and share two amazing children together. To safeguard our deep friendship and maintain a harmonious environment for our children, we have made the mutual and difficult decision to take some time apart and reevaluate our relationship while we prioritize our children. We appreciate your love and support while we continue to do the work necessary throughout this journey. With love, Dorit and PK. So we're separating. Now, it's funny because like it feels like she's still in denial, or at least, and this is what drives me crazy with the Beverly Hills women, is they can never just admit anything straight out. Kyle did the exact same thing with the Mauricio thing. She kept dragging it out. We are separated, kind of, but not. We're living together, but we're not really a couple. We're doing this, but not really. It was very like vague and wishy-washy for the whole season. And even in the press, it was, right? It's like, we're not divorcing. But okay, you weren't divorcing, but you are separating and you're not going to be together. Like everyone's like, can we just say it? And then she dragged it out so long that by the time she finally kind of said it and it was official, it's like no one even cares now. And Dorit's doing the same thing, the same BS. Like she's still kind of leaving it open to like interpretation that they could get back together. You're not getting back together. Okay. You're done. And I hate to say that because I've actually kind of liked them as a couple. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like PK is willing to really, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's being a good husband. So, you know, she should leave him if that's the case. And that's kind of what I've seen. Anyways, so sad for them. But again, not surprising. Dorit has officially signed on full time. So maybe that demotion threat was real. I just kind of thought it was like Kyle putting that out. I still think it could be Kyle putting that out and also having some truth to it. There was also a blind that an OG Real Housewife and former bestie, quote unquote, former bestie, both got asked back full time for the new season. Okay. So it seems like they're talking about Dorit and Kyle, but the rumor is that one is refusing to come on if she has to shoot scenes with the other. Now, I would assume it would be Kyle who would refuse to shoot with Dorit because of what happened, you know, at the reunion with Dorit reading her texts. However, some pictures leaked today from the first party of the season that was being filmed. Kathy Hilton was there, by the way. It seems like Kathy Hilton's going to be on this season, which I'm always looking forward to some sister interactions on that show. And yeah, there was a shot of Dorit and Kyle talking. It didn't look like the happiest conversation, but again, there's only so much you can tell from one picture. But listen, I'm down for that storyline to kind of see how those two are going to work it out. All right, let's go on to Real Housewives of Orange County, because Jen Pedranti's fiance, Ryan, I'm not sure how to say his last name. Okay, so let's just go with Ryan, is caught up in a $16 million gambling and theft scandal. So it's kind of complicated. I saved sort of the screenshot of the explanation, and then I was reading it and I was getting a little confused by some of it. But it seems like basically that there was some sort of theft having to do with paying off a gambling debt that Ryan was, you know, I guess like in cahoots with, okay? And that there was like wired money to pay gambling debts, and that the other person who is involved with it has agreed to plead guilty to two federal charges relating to the theft of nearly $17 million from a former like LA Dodgers, what's it called? Bank account. Okay. And that, I guess, like the guy, not Ryan, but this other guy, used that money to pay off illegal gambling debts. And somehow Ryan is involved in this. You know, he had some association with the illegal bookmaker in question. And also like was involved in like the theft from this man's account. So not looking good. Jen has responded with an Instagram story saying like an inspirational quote about like plowing forward through hard times in life, and basically just says at the end, like, we've got this with a heart. And I'm like, girl, is that what you say when your man is like facing federal charges? We've got this. And now he's basically going to be broke because of this too. Like it's not looking good. A blind item has also come out that seems to be about this, saying that it's a good thing this housewife has already finished filming her latest season. Next year, she won't have any money. That was part of the deal with the feds. There's going to be some heavy restitution. So people think that's about Jen and Ryan. Listen, they've picked up cameras on RHOC. It seems like they're doing this for everything now. Like if something exciting happens, let's pick the cameras up. So yeah, they're picking the cameras up to film a little bit. Maybe like reactions. Cause as far as I knew, they had wrapped filming on OC, but cameras were definitely picked up. There was footage and pictures from this with the cast there. So maybe they're getting reactions to what was happening with Ryan or the legal troubles. I'm not sure exactly. But I do think we're going to be seeing things about it next season. I am really looking forward to this new season of OC. It looks, they better not screw it up, okay? Because we've got Alexis Bellino, we've got Shannon Bedore and her DUI, and then her ex dating Alexis. We've got like Tamara, you know, not friends with Shannon and Vicky anymore. We've got this with Jen and this new guy. Like it, if they fuck this up, I'm going to be so mad at Bravo or whoever the production company is for OC. It better be good. Okay. Also, I have heard that Real Housewives of Atlanta is going to begin filming early summer, which like what is taking so long? Like Portia has so much good drama happening. Can we like get on this? And last, we have a little bit of news with the reality reckoning. Basically, Bravo has closed its internal investigation into Andy after the Brandy and Leah allegations. A rep for the network says the claims were found to be unsubstantiated. Yeah. Duh. I mean, does that mean that Andy has never done anything shady that maybe needs to be investigated? No. But is it anything that, like, based on what those two said, it's actually real and something can be done about? Probably not. It's just like, he might have done coke with someone once. It's like, okay, I don't know what you want people to do about that. All right. And that is all the news for today. I am going to be still talking about Vanderpump Rules, even though there's no after show. But I am going to be giving my thoughts on the part 1, 2, and 3 of the reunion and doing, like, I'm not going to call it a recap because I'm not going to go over like every single thing that they say and that's talked about, but I am going to give my thoughts on the key points and the most important stuff, like I have been with the after show, because you all wanted and have been asking for it and I enjoy it. Thank you so much for the responses to the VPR after show. I got such good feedback on that. And I really had a great time doing it. So thank you so much, everyone, for subscribing, for listening, for being here. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time. Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox and at the Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/Bravo and Botox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.